You know, when Christ was born that very first Christmas, nobody really expected it. It was totally unplanned. Nobody made any plans regarding it. In fact, if we're honest, just kind of like the video, it messed up a whole bunch of people's plans. Right? It messed up King Herod's plans because he wanted to be king of the Jews, and now there was this Messiah that had been prophesied for thousands of years coming, and the prophecies at least said he wanted to be king. It messed up the shepherd's plan because they were thinking another quiet evening by the sheep, you know, hanging out by the fire. And it messed up the religious leaders' plans because they were expecting a political leader Messiah who would come and set them free from Roman occupation and captivity. And Jesus came along and he said stuff like this: turn the other cheek and go the second mile and love your enemies. And they said, Jesus, we don't want that. We want something different. Messed up the innkeeper's plans because he ran out of space in a hurry. Most of all, and I like some of these videos that Mike's been bringing forward because it kind of puts you back, and at least to Mary and Joseph's mind and thoughts a little bit, and it certainly messed up their plans. I mean, just think about, just for a second, I mean, for those of you guys that are married and have kids and stuff like that, think about if God would have came to you while you were engaged and laid all this on you. I mean, you had plans. There's things that you wanted to accomplish. There's things that you wanted to do. You had plans for kids down the road a while. You had things that, I mean, you just wanted to enjoy each other for a while. And God comes and lays this on you. Just changes things. Mary and Joseph were just a young couple. Mary just barely a teenager. And all they wanted to do is get married and have little baby Josephs and Marys, right? In their wedding preparation during their engagement period, all of a sudden, God comes along and says, hey, guys, I'm going to change things up just a little bit. It's going to be awesome, right? Just a little different awesome than you were thinking going in. And the angel said to Mary and Joseph, Mary, three things are going to happen. One, you're going to get pregnant before the wedding day. Two, it's not Joseph who's going to be the father. And three, the baby, it's going to be God. And that messed up their plans just a little bit. Ladies, I don't know, there's already enough stress going into having a kid in the first place, right? You're already kind of feeling overwhelmed by all that is before you. You're feeling not like you're prepared. They don't give you any kind of manual on the way out with the kid. They just say, you can go now. And you're like, what? Imagine if it was God. Imagine all that overwhelmness just accentuated. Imagine all that feeling of not being ready being accentuated. Just imagine that. They weren't at all expecting what the angel would do that day. So let me ask you this morning, has that ever happened to you? Has God ever messed up your plans? I mean, I probably could give an awful lot of examples from my life, right, where this has happened. A laundry list of times where I was going this way, and God just shut a door here, there, and everywhere, and I went this way instead. When I was a little bit younger, I was going to be a professional baseball player, but apparently skill was involved, so I didn't quite make it that far, right? And then later on, I was going to go into banking, had a job going to the management thing and everything. Oh, it was all lined up. It was all perfect, and God started tapping on my shoulder and said, no, I want you to try the seminary thing instead. And then just a few years ago, I was praying that he'd let me keep my hair. And all of a sudden, nothing goes according to plan, right? And my guess is you guys have had some similar experiences over the years where God has changed your plans, maybe even over this last year. I think probably most of us did in different ways. I read yesterday about a woman who was in New York, and she took her child to go see Santa Claus at the mall. And when she got there, she realized that Santa Claus was her ex-husband who had not been paying child support. I don't think he was planning that. 3 hours later, she came back with a court injunction, slapped it on him, and he wasn't going ho, ho, ho anymore, according to the article. I mean, he definitely hadn't planned that. That's just the reality of life, isn't it? Things just don't always go according to the way we want them to go. Some of my staff, they gave me a list of things that haven't gone according to plan over the years, even here at St. Mark. It was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, we were going to pick up, leave this place, and move over to Levitt's building on Thunderbird and Tatum. And we had it all planned, right, didn't we? We were ready to go. Everybody voted on it, and we put our bids in, and we swung and missed twice on that one because God had a different plan. A few years ago, we were kind of waiting on that building fund donation from Bill Gates, but it just never came in, right? So that one didn't quite work the way we wanted to either. But the big one, I think of all time, and you guys know this, is when we tried to pray the Lord's Prayer in a contemporary way. And we tried for like 5 years to get that down, right? But we just couldn't quite do it. There was some kind of hold with that King James Version. It just wouldn't let us transition. But the point is that things just don't always go according to plan. But I also want to say this because I think this is maybe even more important to say. What I'm not saying is that everything that happens is God's plan. I can't tell you the number of times people have come to me and something tragic has happened. They just had a car accident and they say, must have been God's plan. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure that wasn't. A divorce that just happens, must have been God's plan. No, that wasn't God's plan at all. All sorts of tragedy, all sorts of difficulty, must have been God's plan. And can I just tell you that not everything that happens in this world is God's plan. God is not the author of evil. There's so many things that happen in this world that are not his fault. Someone gets raped, God didn't plan that. When someone gets abused, when someone gets cancer, the Bible says again and again and again, God is not the author of evil. You know what he promises to do? He promises to take that horrible stuff, that just nightmarish kind of stuff, the manure of our life, and he promises, just like a garden, to use it in such a way that he turns something into good out of it. Doesn't mean that stuff was good at all. It just promises that God is all-powerful, that God can do anything, and he can take those horrible moments of our lives and turn it into something good, ultimately, if we let him. The Bible says again and again, God is not the author of evil, and that's why we are to pray like we do in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done, right? On earth as it is in heaven, because his will is clearly not done on earth. Why? Because you sin and I sin and everybody else sins and we complicate things and there's a ton of people that on purpose do not do God's will. So the fact is that a lot of my plans get messed up because I mess them up. Right? My own stupidity messes up most of my plans most of the time. Satan doesn't even need to get involved in my life most of the time because I got it handled. And then we're all very well acquainted that other people can mess up our plans. And we know the frustrations and sometimes the hurt that comes from that. But there are times, and there's sometimes, it's not a lot of times, but there's sometimes where God inserts himself and providentially and sovereignly changes around the circumstances in our life because he's got another idea in mind, a plan that is just better. And obviously that's what happened on Christmas 2019 years ago. So the question is, what do you do when God messes up your plans? You want to go this way. All the plans in the world are going this way. This is the desired way, right? Because you came up with a plan. You love your plan. But what happens when God inserts himself and says, I want to go a different way? You know it's out of your control, too, because you know if it was in your control, you're still going to go the way that you've planned. Because if you can control it all, you're going to go headlong into whatever direction that is. And so somehow when God gets involved, it takes it out of our control. And we feel helpless. But when God messes up your plans, what do? Scripture says that you do three things, or actually you remember three things that are vital when you're going through these moments of life. And one of the first things is this. When you're going through these times where God messes things up, you now have to know first and foremost that God's trying to get your attention. In Mary Joseph's case, the plan was so fantastic, so unbelievable, so once in history kind of event that he had to do the supernatural to get their attention. Can you imagine being them? Okay. I mean, if you just kind of felt like that was going to happen, would that be enough? No, you needed something that was something you couldn't deny, something that was just extraordinary, something that was supernatural, something that you could just know, man, this is happening. So God sent an angel to Joseph, who said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be the father of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, for I am God, and I'm coming to earth in human form, and I'm going to split history between AD and BC. The reality is it changed his life. Can you imagine the faith that Joseph must have had to proceed in the midst of everything that he knew was going to transpire? Having a baby out of wedlock, that wasn't cool back then. It was something you were judged for, something that people would judge you for a long time for. The ridicule that would happen. And then telling everybody he was God, that would just about send them over. Lots of times things happen in our life that just don't go according to the way we think they're going to go. But the reality is that we don't need to hear an angel, right? I've never heard an angel. I've never seen an angel. I don't need an angel. Why? Because God can speak to me all the time. He promises any time I go into his word, he can speak to me. And so what's kind of the implicit instruction there? We got to be in his word over and over and over. We got to be able to hear him. I think way too many people just come on Sunday, and I love that they come on Sunday, and they need to come on Sunday because we need to be reminded, right? But the reality is that way too many people go all the way through the week not hearing for God at all. If you think about it as food, and Scripture often equates it with food, it's like you're starving yourself and you're walking in on Sunday and you need to hear a word from God. You need that comfort. You need that support. You need that reminder that he's got you. You need that strength to face your battles. You need that forgiveness so you can let the past go. You need it. You need it. You need it. And my prayer is when you come, you get it. But there's way too many Sundays where we're so preoccupied by life and so consumed by the other things that we just don't hear the things that we desperately need. And so God says, you need to be with me all the time. I need to be able to talk to you all the time. You need those words of comfort and strength and hope. He's just saying, I need to get your attention. And it's important that we understand that because when Satan gives us a word or an impression, right, we call it temptation, and it's not from God. When God reveals something to you through his word, we call it inspiration. And the only way you know the difference is if you know his word. So God just is saying to all of us, even here today, I need you to get to a place where you can listen to me. But the problem comes to listening to God is we kind of all get this ADD, attention deficit disorder, going on, right? We got to put them on hold, or we put the phone on mute, or we turn off the ringer, or we do whatever it can because we're just so busy with life. We're so busy, you know, on our phones and online and watching TV and listening to other people and listening to ourselves for that matter, that we convince ourselves that we got so much going on, too much going on, that we don't have time to listen to God. So there's times where God has to rearrange our plans. And he puts us in places where we just can't help but hear him. Wake up, he shouts. Let me get your attention, he shouts. Someone once said that God speaks to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our problems and in our pain. In Psalm 81, God kind of sums up this whole thing, and he just says this. God says, I wish my people would listen to me. You think he could speak that to our culture today? Why does God want you to give your attention to him? Because he can spare you a lot of pain in this life if you would just listen. We get ourselves into trouble over and over and over when we don't follow God and what he tells us to do. And Proverbs 16 says, there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. In other words, a lot of things in life look like they're the right idea. They look like they're the right thing to do, but in the end, they lead in death. They lead in disaster. And have you ever done that in life, right? Where you're convinced that this is the right thing to do. This is a no-fail situation. We're going forward. It's going to happen. And then it turns into an unmitigated failure. Absolutely. We've all had plans that just don't go the way we intended them to go. Why? Because we don't know the future. And because we don't know the future, right? We don't know how things are going to turn out in spite of our plans and our best intentions. That's why God says, I need you to listen to me. Because God does know the future, and he can see around the corner, and he does know the problems and the detours and the roadblocks that are coming up before us. If we just listen to him, he cries, you can save an awful lot of pain in your life. So God says, if you listen to me, I can help you. A lot of you have heard about my buddy Mike, and I've shared a lot of things over the years, but one of the time we were talking, he says, you know, Mike, and my name's Mike too, so he was saying, you know what the most impactful thing that you've ever shared with me is about God? And I said, what? He says, the Ten Commandments. I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Usually that's not the go-to for people when they answer that question, right? And I said, why the Ten Commandments? And he said, because if I would have tried to live my life more like the way that God wanted me to live it, more like the way you've been trying, I could have avoided so much pain, so many difficulties, so many complications, so much hardship in my life. And he could see that just plainly because he had gone through another train wreck in his life, and he knew it was a consequence of poor choices. But he said that more than anything else lets me know that there's a God who loves me because he's trying to protect me. The thing is we need God way more than just direction in life. We need him for the comfort and the support just to deal with life. We need him for the forgiveness so we can let part of life just go, so we can move on and start living in the future. We need the reminder that he's got us. We need the reminder that there's heaven, that we're playing for something bigger than ourselves. We need to hear from him over and over and over. But there's other reasons he sometimes messes up our plans, and sometimes he just does it because he's got a better plan. We talk about this a lot at St. Mark. The Bible says very clearly that every person has a purpose for their life, that you were made for a purpose, that you were designed very uniquely to accomplish that purpose, that he has a reason for you being on this earth at this time and at this place in all of history. And the secret of life, to living life to the full, is to figure out that purpose and to live it. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I know what I'm planning for you, says the Lord. I have plans that are good for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future." Do you know that that's just as true for us today? He promises, "I work all things for the good of those who love me." The question is, do you trust those things to be true? He says, "My plans for your life are good." I think a lot of people think, if I really give my life to God, right, if I really get serious about this, he's going to make my life miserable. I'm going to have no parties, no fun, no total boredom. I'm going to have to become kind of some kind of Amish person, right, and live my life that way. But God says, no, you don't understand. I made you. I designed you for a purpose. I've knitted you together in your mother's womb. I get how you work, and I love you on top of all that. I've just got a better plan. I've got a better way. And then the last thing that sort of summarizes this whole thing is he's just saying this to us today. I need you to trust me. Or maybe a better way to say it is, I want you to learn to trust me. Right? We trust God for about this much in our life. God says, I need you to trust me for more. You want to experience peace and joy and hope and forgiveness in ways that are tangible and real? Trust me for those things. Trust my promises when I say you're forgiven and no forgiveness. Trust my promises when I say that I'm with you and I will give you strength and experience that strength. Trust that I've got you and I've got this situation. Experience peace. Can you imagine the faith that it took for Joseph to do what he had to do? And guys, especially you, think about that. God just told you, hey, Mary's right. I did tell her this. You are going to have my son. Think about the responsibility you already feel for your family. For raising that little one, I remember holding Katie in my arms. She was my firstborn, and just looking at everything changed for me. I was like, oh man, life's not about me anymore at all. You know, it just changed everything. Imagine the weight of raising God's son, protecting him. Even though you know God's ultimately in charge, you feel the weight of the world to provide for him, to care for him. And you know there's persecution coming, or at least teasing and shunning from the society around you, because they're not going to get it and they're not going to understand. You know Mary needs you and she needs your strength. And upon that angel coming to him, he just trusted. If your fiancé came to you one day and says, honey, I'm pregnant, and by the way, it's God's fault, would you believe her? Bible tells us that Joseph didn't initially. He was going to put her away privately. He was going to call off the engagement until God sent him an angel and said, she's telling the truth, Joseph. Trust me. Can you imagine the faith that Mary had to have when she realized that out of all the women in the world, God chose her specifically to raise the Son of God? God's plan was so different from what their plan was going to be. And all they could do is trust, which is okay, right? Because the Bible says there's only one way to please God. And it's not by religion, and it's not by ritual, and it's not by ceremony, and it's not by a bunch of regulations. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, there's only one way to please God, and it reads this way. Without faith, which is trust, without trust, it is impossible to please God. And so God wants you to learn to trust him. And sometimes he messes up your plans to put you in situations where you have to do just that. Every time he messes up your plans, you got to know it's a test. Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust me? Am I going to trust that I know better or am I going to trust that God actually knows better for my life? Am I going to trust that God knows what make me happy or am I going to keep forcing through this idea of what I think makes me happy? It's a test. And I share all this stuff because this Christmas, there's a lot of you that are feeling a little bit discouraged. And if that's true, you're not alone. This last year has been discouraging for a bunch of people. Maybe you came in here and you're feeling a little bit lonely, and Christmas just does that. It's a time of year where we're used to family. It's what we grew up with, and when you don't have that, it can be very lonely. Maybe feeling stressed out by the whole situation, all the plans, all the parties, all the things, making sure you're getting gifts, right? That's coming up in a couple days. It's got to be ready. All the food that needs to be prepared, all the people that you're entertaining. For some of you, it's the first Christmas since the divorce, or it's the first Christmas since the death of a loved one, and you're not sure how to handle it. And by the way, if that's you, I'm so sorry, and I hurt with you this morning. For some of you, it's the first Christmas since you have a disability, and you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life. And truth be told, you're a little nervous about 2020 and the days ahead because you don't know what's going to transpire. You don't know which way it's going to go. You don't know if you're going to have a job or not. You don't know if you're going to, if your relationship's going to last or not. You don't know if your marriage is going to go in the right way or the wrong way. You don't know if your health is going to hold up. You don't know what's going to happen with your kids. You have all kinds of concerns, and you don't know, and you're just a little worried about what's going the future holds. And the reality is, you don't know. You have no idea. You make your plans, but you have no idea. You can call all the psychic hotlines that you want, and you can't get any clearer picture because it's God's secret. You don't know what 2020 is going to hold. But God says there's three things that you can absolutely know, and that you can bank on, and that you can stand on in the days ahead. And the first one is this: in 2020, you can know that God still has a personal plan for your life. He's still got purpose for you. You may have missed it for the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, but you can still get in on it today. And you can start living the rest of your life as the best of your life. You can know that God is never going to leave you, that he's going to walk every step with you through this next year. And there's a comfort in that, knowing that the most powerful entity in the world, who cares about you, who loves you, who says that you matter, walks with you through these experiences. It means he will see every tear. He will be with you in every struggle, every piece of anxiety that you struggle with. He's going to be speaking to you. Trust me, I've got you. I love you. You're mine. Every step he walks with you. And lastly, you can know that he will continue to love you more and more and more and more than you can ever imagine. Christmas is a time to be reminded that the whole reason he sent Jesus was to save us. And the whole reason he wanted to save us is because he made us and he cares about us and he loves us as his own kids. Christmas is a time to celebrate that we are loved by God in this way. It is a time to celebrate that we matter to this newborn king. It's a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus. And Father, especially over the next couple days, I just pray that you would just remind us again and again that you've got us. No matter what life throws at us, and lots of times it throws curveballs at us, and just things don't go according to plan, but that you remind us you got us, that you love us, that we're yours. And in such that we can trust you with our lives, and we can trust your promises as true, and in that it gives us a peace and a strength and a hope and a forgiveness to deal with life. Father, give us that reminder, the whole reason you sent Jesus is because we matter to you, because you love us. And so we thank you for Jesus this day, and we pray this in his name, and all God's people said, amen.